Jesus is risen. He is truly risen indeed. Amen. Alleluia. Today, my dear friends, on this most glorious night of nights, is the night on which our Lord has made new. This is the day the Lord has made because he has risen from the dead. For this reason, we have great reason to rejoice and be glad, because our Savior is truly risen from the dead. Today, the women from Galilee find the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they enter, they do not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And they are greeted by two angels who ask them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has been raised." At Easter, we encounter the risen Lord, but we do so especially tonight at the Easter Vigil. The Easter Vigil is the liturgy of all liturgies. And in the beauty of tonight's liturgy, we encounter the glory of the risen Lord. Tonight our church began, shrouded in darkness, symbolic of the darkness of sin and death. And it was the light of this Paschal candle, this candle that represents Jesus Christ coming into our world of darkness to conquer that darkness, to conquer sin and death once and for all. Now that Jesus has passed from death to life, he is able to bring life and light of grace to our souls. And those who receive this grace are reborn to new life. Brothers and sisters, we prayed in the collect, the opening prayer tonight, we prayed, "O God, who make this most sacred night radiant with the glory of the Lord's resurrection, stir up in our hearts a spirit of adoption, so that renewed in body and mind, we may render you undivided service." Notice what the glory of the resurrection does in our lives. This prayer says that it stirs up in believers a spirit of adoption. In other words, it stirs up in our minds the mystery of our baptism, the day on which we were given new life and adopted as sons and daughters of God. The liturgy of the church at Easter rightly focuses on baptism, because it is in baptism that we participate in the death and resurrection of Jesus, when we die and rise with him. We heard in the epistle, the letter to the Romans, when St. Paul asks the Romans, he says, "Are you not unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life." Friends, baptism is a death and resurrection. It is a dying to our old self, a dying to our sins, putting to death our sins, and rising to new life. In the ancient church, the early Christians wanted to draw their attention to this reality. So they would often baptize people by full immersion in a baptismal pool. And they did this in Jerusalem, in the place where Jesus died and rose from the dead. There was a bishop, St. Cyril of Jerusalem. What he used to do is he used to take people that were newly baptized to the Holy Sepulchre, to the place in which Jesus rose from the dead. And he used to say these words to them: "You were led to the holy pool of divine baptism. As Christ was carried from the cross to the sepulchre, which is before our eyes." And then he goes on, he says, "And each of you was asked whether he believed in the name of the Father, and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you made that saving confession and descended three times into the water and ascended again. Here also hinting by a symbol at the 3 days burial of Christ. And at this moment, you were both dying and being born. And that water of salvation was at once your grave and your mother. My dear catechumens, Maddox, Nancy, and Ha, in a few moments you will be led to this baptismal font. Using this striking imagery of St. Cyril of Jerusalem, this baptismal font represents both your grave and your mother. Your former life and your sins will be buried with Christ in his death. But you will rise to new life and you will be reborn. Holy Mother Church will give birth to you in this baptismal font, giving you the new life of grace. May I dare say that this moment is the most important moment of your life. In this moment, you will receive the cleansing water that gives rebirth. In this moment, the grace of God will wash away the stain of original sin with which you were conceived, as well as any personal sins that you have committed in your life. And in that moment, you will become a new person. At that moment, for the first time, the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will come and dwell within your soul, making you a temple of God. From this moment onward, you will be a child of God, and so you will be able to call God your Father, and you will also be able to call the Church your Mother, because she is giving birth to you. In confirmation, you will receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The grace that you received in baptism, it's going to be brought to completion. It's going to be brought to maturity. And you will be given the grace to be a witness to the Catholic faith, to preach the truth of the gospel to every person that you encounter, and to be a joyful example of a Catholic. You will also be given the grace to defend the Catholic faith, and even to suffer for it when it may be attacked, and even to suffer and to die as a martyr for your love of Jesus and his Church. And finally, for the first time, you will receive the Holy Eucharist, the sacrament of God's love for us and for you. You will receive Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, into your body and into your soul. Tonight, Jesus says to you, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." This Eucharist, my dear catechumens, this is what makes us who we are. This is the source and the summit of our faith. The Eucharist makes us Catholic, and it's our most prized possession. I'm sure that all of us that we watched in the news earlier this week when the very sad images of Notre Dame Cathedral, when it caught fire in Paris. But I remember when we watched the news, remember that everyone, everyone was concerned whether or not the relics had been rescued, whether or not especially the crown of thorns in which that Notre Dame Cathedral houses, whether or not these relics and whether or not the crown of thorns was rescued from the blaze. But later that week, last week, it came out that the priest chaplain for the Paris Fire Brigade. What a job, right? He was the one that rushed into the burning cathedral to rescue the crown of thorns, and he did indeed rescue them. But this is what he said. He said, "Everybody understands that the crown of thorns is an absolutely unique and extraordinary relic." And then he said, "But the Blessed Sacrament is our Lord, really present in his body, blood, divinity, and humanity. And you understand that it is hard to see someone you love perish in the blaze. As firefighters, we often see casualties from fire, and we know its effects. This is why I sought to preserve above all the real presence of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, so first and foremost, yes, even though the crown of thorns and relics, yes, they are treasures, our most prized treasure, our most prized possession with which we cannot live is the Blessed Sacrament. My dear catechumens, may you always preserve in the grace of God, his divine life in your souls, and may it grow from this day forward. My dear friends, all gathered here this evening with your families, may the joy of the risen Lord be with you and with your loved ones throughout this Easter season. Christ is risen. Amen. Alleluia.